Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good afternoon, everybody. I had a temporary difficulty there. I found out. I solved the tech problem. We're back. I'm back alive. A little bit off my game, but not too much for an edgy old dude. But anyway, people, as you well know, it is November the 20th, year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2021. We had, just in case you're tuning in, we had Rich Hamblin and Dr. Michael Hill on the first hour talking about the Charlottesville case we got through. We have two other people here on the show tonight that were in Charlottesville. We won't be talking about that the whole time. It's whatever they want to do because, as you know, what I like to do, I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the rack. I like to get people that are sharp and get them on and let them go, and I like to get out of their way. But we have everybody and his mama knows Gene Andrews. He's not a bitter ender. He's the bitter ender. And Lee surrendered. But Gene Andrews didn't surrender, and he's still fighting the revolution. He's still fighting Lincoln's war. And we also have my brother in arms, Sam Dixon. He is an distinguished attorney. Everybody and his mama on Blood River Radio in the cesspool. You all know Sam Dixon. What a great guy! But he's on tonight. We got these two guys on. We're going to talk about a few things and. We didn't mention it in the first hour, but, you know, this is November the 22nd, 1963. I remembered it just like it was yesterday. President JFK was assassinated. He certainly was. I remember that just like it was yesterday. So they might want to mention that a minute or two. But we could talk about this, the Rittenhouse trial, the Charlottesville trial, a little bit of Mr. Buddy's letter. I'll tell you what's really going on really serious, guys. Russia, the UK, France, and Germany are kind of threatening war against Russia. But anyway, that's some of the things we could talk about. And I talked to one of the sailors from the USS Liberty the other day. We could briefly mention that, but it's wherever you guys want to go. And so I guess I'll introduce, how you doing tonight, Gene? You want to say hello to the audience, my brother?
Doing great. Glad to be on the show and glad to be on with Sam Dixon. He's always been one of my heroes and was very fortunate last weekend to be at the American Renaissance Conference there at Montgomery Bell State Park in Middle Tennessee, and got to hear Sam speak and got to speak to him that evening. So that was quite an honor for me and quite an enjoyable time to listen to Sam and all the other great speakers that they had there as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know you had a good time, and you would have stayed longer, but you had to leave because you were really involved in all kinds of things. I think you had to go to this turkey shoot over at the Lee home.
We had a turkey shoot at the NB Forest Home as a fundraiser on Saturday morning.
I'm talking about Lee.
Funny thing about it was, to show you how goofy the liberals are, Ronnie Headley, that put this on with the Forest Boyhood Home Camp there in Chapel Hill, Tennessee, they put it on as a fundraiser, and I was just a flunky to pick up trash and do all that sort of stuff. He got kicked off the internet, and I don't know if it was Facebook or Google, but they told him that their censor would not allow him to advertise shooting turkeys. It was against their cruelty to animals policy for that internet site. So he had to get back on there, and they took him off and took the advertisement. We had an advertisement on there, the day and date and time and, you know, the price for each round and all that sort of thing. So he had to get back there and tell them, no, we're not shooting live turkeys. The turkeys are already dead, clean, and frozen and wrapped up in plastic, and whoever gets – you shoot at paper targets, and whoever gets closest on that round wins a turkey from – the grocery store. And, you know, oh gosh, it's amazing that liberals can actually get up and get themselves dressed in the morning. They are so ignorant of any kind of factual information. So
that is so true.
That was the big laugh for our turkey shoot that we had last weekend.
Well, did they finally let the guy back on?
Oh yeah, they let him back on. So Anyway, once we convinced them, no, we don't have turkeys staked out at different places up and down the road there in the woods, and you go by and shoot a live turkey, and then you got to take it home and pluck the feathers and clean it and all that sort of. No.
We just always run over them in our pickup trucks.
Well, that's another option right there. Roadkill. Unfortunately, this time of year, you see a lot of venison meat laying up and down the side of the roads.
Yes, you got that right, brother. Well, you know, you mentioned Sam. There's two things he said in my lifetime. The first time I was able to see Sam was over at what I call the Quad City in Alabama. As you get Florence, Muscle Shoals, and that's Tuscumbia, and what's that, the other one? Sheffield, Alabama, right there.
Right.
We had a Council on Conservative Citizens meeting there back in 07. I had just got out of the cardiac ICU, believe it or not. And Sam was up there, and somebody, and I know Sam has heard me say this a bunch of times, but I've never forgotten it. He said that somebody asked, they said, hey, Sam, when are the American people going to stand up and actually offer some kind of resistance to the evil that's going on? And it was like, it was, you know, like Beverly Hills then compared to how bad it is now. And Sam said something like, I've never forgotten it. He said that when these kids, when these people's children, when their bellies start swelling up from starvation, when these people have nothing, he said, when people have nothing left to lose, they lose it. That statement went to something like that. I've never forgotten it. And he said something else recently that I've never forgotten. And I've kind of knew it, but he drilled it into my head when we were down there at Pine Level, Alabama. He said he was, even when he was a young attorney, he was always amazed at how naive the Americans are. They've always assumed that if they walk into a courtroom and they're innocent, or if they're suing someone, and they have the law is on their side, they have the evidence on their side, that they're, you know, it should be a slam dunk, that they actually believe they can just walk in there and on merits be rendered a fair verdict. And he said that was so naive. He knew that was a naivety even when he was a young attorney. Well, that, I'd like to bring you on, my brother Sam. How you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing fine, but I must say that all of this flattery is just too much. To paraphrase Winston Churchill, I'm a very humble man with a lot to be humble about. and I wasn't condemning other American people and acting wise when I talked about being naive about courts. I was naive, but I got the naivete knocked out of me when I went to court the first time and learned that the evidence and the law don't really matter, and just how bad a judge could be in a completely normie case, not to mention one in which you represent people that are the enemies of the system and who are targeted by judges who are looking to promote themselves. It was great to see Gene, you know, the American Renaissance. I think the world of Gene, and I was glad to see him. I'm glad to talk to him now.
Well, great. Thank you. This is an honor to be on the show with you. And
we belong. You're such a young guy. You don't remember songs back in the 1950s on the radio, but I'm old. I remember one called "We Belong to a Mutual Admiration Society." Do you remember that one?
Well, yes, go ahead, Eddie.
I was going. You go ahead. Hey, I'm trying to decide. I guess, Mr. Sam, you want to take off tonight? Would you like? I know Gene and I have talked about Charlottesville a lot. Since you are the attorney, if y'all would like to talk about Charlottesville just a little bit, since it's come to a head, I believe they started the deliberations Friday. I believe. How do you feel about this case, Sam? Do you think the League of the South, Dr. Michael Hill, Michael Tubbs, do you think our side? Do you think we have a shot at getting a fair verdict up there? What's your gut feeling?
Well, I really don't it's very important. Studies show that lawyers and their clients appear confident. Studies have shown that juries are more moved by the confidence shown in the case by lawyers and their clients than any other fact in the courtroom. It's irrational, but then people are irrational. So our people have to be very, very confident. Michael has to act like it's okay. But you never know what a jury's going to do. I always urge my clients, if they got a reasonable settlement, to accept it, because I don't like to roll the dice in front of a bunch of 12 absolute strangers. But that said, you know, it's just heartbreaking. This is a horrible suit. I think it's absolutely in violation of the law. I think it should have been dismissed. I think it sets a horrible idea that you can sue people who go to political meetings. If this kind of suit were applied, you know, uniformly, nobody would ever go to a political meeting. You'd be risking bankruptcy to go to a political meeting. Given the instructions, the law that Judge Moon has set as the law and that he charged the jury with, you know, those charges say things like mere presence is enough to make you part of a, quote, conspiracy, end quote, that you can be part of a conspiracy without intending to, without knowing that you are a member. You can be part of a conspiracy and charge a liability for what the conspiracy does, even if you have no anticipation that a crime will be committed.
Sam, we got to go through.
This is just horrible stuff. I mean, you know, anybody, if that's to be the law, people would be fools.
We got to go to our first break now. Sam, we have to go to our first break. I don't know if you can hear me or not. I'm going to have to switch mics or something because Jay just told me I'm not getting through too well. Guys, we'll be right back. I'm going to see if I can get a different mic and get mic'd up before we come back to the break. Anyway, people, if you can hear me, hang on to your seats. We'll be right back after this quick break.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Well, dear Blood River Radio folks out there, I'm so thankful for y'all listening. I really am, and I'm so thankful. I always like to thank our donors. We have enough donors to keep us on airtime, if you will. Also, while we're at it, this is one of these famous rabbit trails I go off on. People, if y'all will send me an email at eddie@bloodriverradio.com, let me know your opinion on. Do you think 3 hours would do too much? Sam Bushman is wanting us to know if might want to go 3 hours. Let me know. It's more work, et cetera, et cetera. But just send me an email, say yay or nay, and because I got to decide pretty quick. Anyway, that's just another rabbit trail. Sorry, I had to take valuable airtime for that. But anyway, we were talking to Mr. Sam, and Mr. Sam, I hope you could hear me because Jay said my mic I just had to get rid of was garbage. So go ahead and
I can hear you fine.
Great. So would you like to take off, finish up where you were talking about before we went to the break?
Yes. What they're doing is they're applying criminal law about conspiracy to these civil lawsuits arising out of political activity. And that's really dangerous. I don't like the criminal law on conspiracy. It's way too broad. And this is just outrageous. I mean, the idea you can belong, talk about conspiracy theorists, so that you can belong to a conspiracy and not know you're in a conspiracy, and you can belong to a conspiracy not knowing that a crime's going to be committed, and you can belong to a conspiracy by just being physically present and not preventing the some criminal act. This is really wild stuff and bad. You know, they'll be able to shut down every political organization they want to. You go there and, you know, you go to some sort of demonstration about gay rights, and you know, some homosexual gets into a fist fight with some fundamentalist, and you're somehow guilty of this. You know, that you can be sued. It's just horrible, and the evidence is awful. They allow these so-called expert witnesses that are nothing more than nasty, leftist, vehement, nasty leftist. They had this sociology professor who testified along with another one named B. They had worked up a report for Kaplan, the plaintiff's lawyer, and they created this thing called the WSM, the White Supremacist Movement. There's no such thing as any WSM. I mean, nobody has a post office box with that name on it. Nobody has a website. You know, that's a name that our enemies give to us, and no one's a member of it. Nobody has a card carrying member. You know, there are no rules. There's no guidebook about how, you know. And they come in there and they testify about the white supremacist movement, and they assert that all these people in the room, all these defendants, they're members of the WSM, a movement that doesn't exist. It is something they created in their study. And then they're allowed to lecture about the WSM, and that everybody in it is trained on a private version of the English language, where everybody knows that when you say nonviolence, it means violence. I mean, This is just crazy. Stalin would have blushed to use something like that in the Purge trials. It's just craziness.
You know, Rich Hamblin said that it was very Talmudic, what you just described, and I could not agree more. Very Talmudic, absolutely. I'll tell you what. I was just telling you. I've told Dr. Hill earlier. Of course, some people think I'm a radical, but. I don't even know why we went to Charlottesville for a trial, because, I mean, it'd be like going into the gulag in 1920 and, you know, thinking we're going to get a trial. It'd be like, you know, the Czar thinking he's going to get a good trial, you know, with those.
but it's a revolutionary act to go through the motions. This is how I consoled myself when I did cases for dissidents in America. And saw what the courts were capable of. I consoled myself when I lost the case that we had allowed the system the opportunity to fulfill all of its phony promises about being a nation with liberty and justice for all. We allow their court to deliberate, and it's a revolutionary act to show that the system and the courts are illegitimate. So that, you know,
great
so that
point. Excellent.
It's a bitter lesson. I mean, I'm very concerned about Michael Hill and the other defendants, but it raises consciousness that there is no hope of justice or reform through this system, which is my own personal belief that we have to start thinking in terms of post-America and with a new country and a new government, a new law system that will be quite different from what we have now. The present system has no means of reform, and therefore, as Edmund Burke said, a state with no means of reform is with no means of its preservation. And there's no way of preserving the system here. It's just out of control. It's like a cancer. The cells are multiplying too fast, and it's just got to be cut out.
You know, Sam, you said something before I go to Gene. You said something I never thought of. I don't know why I didn't. Because we had a fellow on the other night, Jason Robb, and he said that we were wondering why the question was to a question was put to Jason Robb. A person said, "Why was this woman even allowed to come into the courtroom and start talking about the Holocaust? For God's sake, what did it have anything at all to do with the case?" And Jason said that, you know, you can never tell. He said, "What you got to remember is if you have a jury that's halfway decent, they're going to be saying the same thing too. They're going to be saying like we did. What does this have to do with the Holocaust? Or is the judge trying to trip the case? Is he trying to throw the case to our enemy?" And you said something else too. I don't know why I didn't think about this. That the American people, what few have, you know, a decent conscience that are upright. If they're watching this trial go on, this travesty of a trial where I think we're getting shafted, found out more of reasons why we're getting shafted in the first hour with Dr. Hill and Richone. But you're so right. You're so right. And also, you know, me and Rich have talked quite a while, and I know I feel like he does. I think secession is the only way out. But anyway, thank you. I never thought about that before. By thus going to trial, like, and if we did it like I said, you know, don't even go up there. Well, by us going up there, having people like Rich and Dr. Hill, all these other people up there, go on trial, our people, then the audience can say, or the audience, the people that watch the trial can say, "Hey, these guys got shafted. You know what? We don't have a fair legal system anymore." I never thought of that point. What do you think about that, Gene?
And, you know, and one way to show it would be to bring a mirror image opposite suit. Just imagine what Judge Moon and the federal courts would do if you filed a suit. You and I filed a suit and claimed that we suffered emotional damage. These plaintiffs, by and large, don't have the slightest physical damage to give them access to the courthouse. So they're claiming that they were just distraught. They've just been emotionally raped and devastated by looking at this stuff, which is a pack of lies. The lawyers able to show that these two have gone to law school, they've gone on vacation, they take selfies, they go to dances. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But imagine if we filed something saying that that the Antifa caused us emotional damage at some demonstration or someplace where the Black Lives Matter movement were burning buildings. And so we sue 25 or 30 people who are prominent in Black Lives Matter and Antifa, who happen to be somehow involved in some kind of a left-wing thing. And we have experts come in. We have Jared Taylor comes in as an expert and testifies. I've spent years studying the Antifa and the Black Lives Movement, and I can tell you that they all lie, that they have a secret, that all of these people belong to an organization or a movement called the Let's Get Whitey Movement. And I call that the LGW. And they're all members of the LGW, and they all lie. They have a secret language where words mean the opposite of what they appear to mean. I'm here. Do you think the courts would be, well, you could actually say that the head of the Black Lives Matter is a self-avowed Marxist. She describes herself as a trained Marxist. Well, Marxists don't believe in individual morality. They have contempt for it. So they don't tell the truth on an oath. An oath means nothing to them.
Well, you nailed it, Sam. We've got to go to our second break, and we come back. We'll get the bitter ender to chime in to make a few comments. I'm sure he has a question or two for you, Sam. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seat.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. The Job Creators Network, one of the nation's largest small business advocacy groups, filed a notice with the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals on Friday and sent a letter to President Joe Biden pushing back on his administration's bullying of small business owners and attempts to force them to comply with its employer vaccine mandate. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the White House will keep pushing.
Our message to businesses right now is to move forward with measures that will make their workplaces safer and protect them, their workforces from COVID-19.
The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee blasted the verdict released on Friday in the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse and called for the Justice Department to review the court decision. Representative Jerry Nadler's remarks veered sharply from the message issued by President Joe Biden, who, unlike progressives, said that he respected the jury's decision. This is USA Radio News.
Folks, you know how cancel culture has affected Mike Lindell. Well, MyPillow may have gotten canceled out of retail stores, but you can save big just in time for Christmas at MyPillow.com. The classic standard size MyPillow that sold in stores for almost $70 is on sale for Christmas for just $19.98. Standard size, $19.98. Queen and king size slightly higher, but only if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, get a MyPillow for that special person in your life. You also get a free press and pack bag so you can take your MyPillow anywhere. Save big on anything on the MyPillow website, but only if you use my promo code USA. Support Mike Lindell and American Jobs. Get the best price ever on a MyPillow and do your Christmas shopping at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175. Merry Christmas.
The official European Union database of suspected drug reaction website is now reporting 30,551 fatalities and 1,163,000 adverse drug reactions from COVID vaccines Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and AstraZeneca through November 13th, based on the data submitted to its system. A lifelong feminist and Democrat gave a stark warning to her party. Stop promoting the abolition of biological sex or lose votes. And it's terrible for women and girls, Kara Danski, president of the Women's Human Rights Campaign U.S. chapter, told Fox News.
The movement to sort of promote the idea that men can be women is fundamentally anti-feminist. It is anti-woman, and it is very politically regressive.
She said the U.S. is in the middle of a national crisis over the meanings of the words sex and gender. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, dear people out there, if you well know by now, if you've tuned in, we have the one and only Sam Dixon, and we also have Mr. Gene Bitterender Andrews. We'll have to come up with a great nickname for Sam, because everybody that comes on Blood River, we get nicknames. But, you know, we were just talking in one of my rabbit trails. I was telling people, Sam was telling us about how the average person living in a project has a softer, more comfortable life here in America than Marie Antoinette did at one time, and how when they left their home, people migrating to the United States knew they would never be able to see their relatives in Europe again. Well, the only thing holding me here in Memphis, Tennessee, is because I have two daughters and a grandson, but because me and my wife would like to leave. I know this is an aside, but it kind of works into the show. Every single night in Memphis, we have gunfire. You can hear, I don't care what part of the city you go, you hear gunfire. People are being shot dead at gasoline stations almost every day in Memphis. Get this, people, on the interstate, I-40, a major interstate running through Memphis, I-240 running through Memphis, they're actually killing each other while at 70, 80 miles an hour, gunfire on the interstate. Anyway, that's when Sam talked about people leaving Europe, coming over here, never see any relatives again. That's the obvious. I want to leave, but it's hard to get away from people you love. Anyway, that's just one of my notorious rabbit trails I'm always going down. Anyway, Gene, have you been here, Philip? Been pretty quiet. Why don't you respond to some of the stuff that Sam's been talking about?
Well, I know that you're making up those stories about all the shootings in Memphis. I know that that hasn't happened. And the reason I know it hadn't happened, because they told us once they got rid of the Nathan Bedford Forrest statue, then Memphis would be just a wonderland, a safe place. It would, all the troubles would be gone once they got rid of that statue. And I find it hard to believe that there people are out there just still shooting each other left and right, and the statue is no longer in Memphis. So did the media lie to us again? Is that what happened?
I'm afraid they did. Keep in mind, too, this makes the city look bad, because guess what? We have an all-black police force. We are black, and we have our police chief is black. We have a black city mayor. We have a white city mayor, but we have a black city council, and we have a black county mayor. You name it, and it's black. If it's not black, it's one of our privileged sons of Abraham that's running things. But this, I mean, how could that be, y'all? You know, we have all 90% blacks in the government, and 85% black population. Surely I must be hearing bad reports about all this gunfire. I think we're rivaling Chicago. But go ahead, Gene.
An interesting thing that Sam brought up about, how people living in the projects have it better off than people in the 1700s. My dad made a really interesting comment one time. Now, he passed away in 2003, and he was 95 years old, and he said that he had lived through his life, and he didn't think there would ever be more dramatic changes than what he saw in his lifetime. He said when he was a young boy, he talked to men that rode on horseback and fought in the Confederate Army. And he lived long enough to see men land and walk on the moon and then get back and come back to Earth. And he said there'll be greater inventions than those down through the years. But he didn't think there would ever be a time period when you jump from people traveling on horseback or sail or steam was the primary means of transportation to people flying in rocket ships and landing on the moon and being able to come back. So I thought that was pretty interesting of a lifespan that's seen that big of a change in how people live and the inventions that come along in such a short time span there. But I did want to mention, you were talking about the white supremacist movement, WSM. Well, I've been involved in that. I've been involved in that for a long time. WSM, Clear Channel 650 in Nashville, broadcast the Grand Ole Opry. They broadcast Vanderbilt football. So I guess I'm a guilty since a little boy listening to Vanderbilt football on WSM. So
God knows what the so-called experts could come up with, Gene. I mean, it's just fantastic.
Yeah, well, they've always got to have some kind of crutch to hobble around on. It's amazing that.
Well, as a lawyer, what Bob did, as a lawyer, this kind of testimony is just garbage. I mean, in Anglo-Saxon law, we've never been able to have expert witnesses come in and explain to the jurors what the parties are testifying to. You don't do that. You don't have them come in and assign these people to being members of a group that doesn't exist, from nothing, announced that this group has a secret code. It's so ridiculous that any decent system of government would be ashamed of itself, but our system is not.
No, it isn't, and it's the par for the course. It's like everything they claim that went on in the insurrection hoax up in the Capitol and back in January, that they simply go down through there and look at videos and find people that weren't doing anything. And they drag them off to D.C. and throw them in the dungeon there and have them beaten and going without food and they can't contact anybody and torture them until they agree to some kind of charge against them, a plea bargain. And they clap their hands and say, oh, we've done such a great job of rounding up all these domestic terrorists when they were anything but that. And you're exactly right. The legal system in this country has just gone absolutely berserk. And our law, so-called law enforcement agencies like the FBI and the Department of Justice. That is an absolute joke. It's just and you're right. It's frightening. Unless you have an unlimited amount of financial backing, and you get hauled before these courts, they can drag it out forever and bankrupt you. And even if you win, you're living on the street after you've sacrificed and
that's
sold
a very,
everything
that's
you
a
have.
Very, very. That's a very important point, Gene. Yeah, so many people will say, I'll hear people say that, well, Kyle Rittenhouse won his case. He was acquitted. Yeah, I have to live my life, as you do, with a lot of these law and order conservatives. They throw the Bill of Rights out the window and put a cop on every block conservatives. And, you know, no, you don't win a criminal case. Now, you go through a year and a half of hell of worrying about whether you're going to be put in a jail. Jails that in our country are a disgrace to the human race. They're not country club prisons, like conservatives like to say that. They're horrible places, especially for young guys. If he had been convicted, he probably would have been these people's girlfriend for the next 20 years. You know, that's kind of jails that we have in this disgraceful country. You don't recover your attorney's fees. A criminal accusation and trial is a devastating thing in somebody's lives, right? And they know this, and they use this as a means to ruin people. Franklin Roosevelt did it. He did it to lots of people. It's just horrific. These McMichael people in Brunswick. Yeah, they've been held in jail now for a year and a half, denied bail. Bail is a constitutional right. There's supposed to be only two criteria for judging whether you get bail: risk of flight and risk of perpetrating other crimes. Neither of those risks exist with these people. They've been held there, and I can't help but think it's like you say. They've been held there in the hopes of coercing these innocent people into agreeing to a plea bargain where these prosecutors and our state attorney general, Chris Carr, who have brought these baseless charges, can claim that they got something. It's just an outrage.
Well, the whole legal system is not built on finding out the truth of what happened in a certain situation. The whole legal system is built on getting a conviction. Whether they're state attorney generals or district attorneys or whatever, they could care less whether the person that's hauled in before the court is innocent or guilty. They just want to get a conviction, and they'll use any kind of dirty trick that they can and have federal officers lie in court to get a conviction. I think there's several persons on the radio program the first hour that can tell you that'll happen. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. The conservatives don't understand it. These people that think the judges are letting people go, the vast majority of people who are accused of crime, a huge majority, I think it's like 95%, get convicted either by pleas or things. Many innocent people go to jail in criminal prosecutions. And once you get caught up in a criminal prosecution, you're on an assembly line. They're going to push you to conviction. They don't step back and reevaluate things as other evidence comes in. Once they target you, once they think you did a crime, they're going to push the pieces of the puzzle together to try to make that case out. Yeah. I recommend to all your listeners, and to both of you, if you haven't seen it, you need to go online and look for a documentary called West of Memphis. You watch that documentary, and you see what happens to innocent young kids who get falsely accused.
West of Memphis. Maybe we talk about that when we come back from the break. People, we've got to go to our last break. Please don't go anywhere. See you in just a few minutes.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, if there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people, unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Dear Blood River Radio people, you're still here with old Ed and with our distinguished brother Sam Dixon and our other blood brother Gene Andrews. You know, we have another brother, Rich Hamblin, who Gene referred to. He was on the first hour, and he's all too well acquainted with how terrible the legal system is. But he texts in. Rich is like an encyclopedia for us here on Blood River. He says,
"I wish I'd heard him. He testified in Charlottesville, didn't he?"
Yes, sir, he did. He texted.
There was most people declined. I hear that there were people asked to testify and wouldn't go. I hope that's not true. That speaks very ill of people. It speaks very well about Hamlin.
Well, he certainly did, and he said that he was over 100 miles away from Charlottesville, so they could not force him to testify. But he said there was no way he was not going to go and testify. He did his he followed his heart. He followed his morals, his duties, and his convictions. But he texts in. He says that 94%, I just lost it. He says that 94% of federal indictments end in convictions and or plea bargains. It just, all of a sudden, it just disappeared off my phone. But you were talking about that.
It's huge. And they'll get at you through your family. You know, that's how they went after either Flynn or Stone. You know, they threatened to go after his son in order to bludgeon him into entering a phony plea.
Hmm. Okay. You know, we had a fellow on by the name of a fellow on our show by the name of Daniel Borden. He was just 18 years old. He was arrested in the Charlottesville fights up there. He was up there with us. His dad, Rick Borden, was a highly decorated Air Force veteran. Flew fighter planes in Nam. Later on, flew B-52s. A real upstanding guy. And you know, they went against the dad. They came. They ransacked his house. They bullied him around. They just ran roughshod over his stuff, throwing stuff out in the yard. One of the cops was like Gene. He was a former Marine, and he was so disgusted. He was crying. He was mad. He said, "I can't believe we're treating this highly decorated Air Force guy, wounded in combat, et cetera, et cetera. We're treating him like common scum. He hasn't done anything, trying to get to his son." So you're absolutely right. Would you like to chime in on that, Gene?
Yeah. One thing I would like to do, before we run out of time, I've got a story about Sam that I think our listeners need to hear. And this is a definition of a fine Southern gentleman. A couple of years ago, we went with James Edwards had a bus full of people on a tour up to Fort Pillow. And James asked me to go to give the account of General Forrest there at Fort Pillow of what actually happened. So I was speaking to the group, and we had a picnic pavilion for lunch, and I gave my talk, and then we were going to go over, and we'd already seen the movie that they have there, and I was telling them all of inaccurate things that are going to be in this movie when you go in there. Don't believe that. And then we threw it open for questions, And someone had a question, didn't really apply to Fort Pillow, but it was about the number of blacks that actually served in the Confederate Army. And I said, well, I haven't done a lot of research on it, but I've heard this number and this number and this number. And Sam, and this is why I have so much respect for him, instead of jumping up right in the middle of when I was speaking like a liberal would do and say, well, I fact-checked that, and he's wrong, and he's he doesn't know what he's talking about, I'm right, he doesn't know what. He waited until we finished the tour, got back on the bus, went all the way back down to Mississippi, right across the state line there, and then asked to speak to me in the lobby of the motel over in one corner. And he didn't holler and shout on the bus or say, well, this guy was wrong and I've got the right information. And it's funny. I always admired Sam, but I had much more admiration for him because he disagreed with me. And you may think that's hard to understand, but it's the way he handled himself and the way he handled the situation as a real, true Southern gentleman would. And there are darn few of them left around anymore. But Sam Dixon is one of them.
Well, it's a matter of learning how to play well with other children, Gene. And you are a thoughtful person and a responsible person and a likable person. And that's part of why you should be dealt with that way. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
While we're on your favorite subject of forest, isn't it just fantastic that 150 or more years after the war, these people are now writing books and claiming that forest killed all these blacks and stuff at Fort Pillow and all that. The abolitionists after the defeat tried to try forest, as you know. Yeah, the guns were still hot. The Yankees were still full of hatred for us. They couldn't come up with a case against Forrest. But these little nasty, white-hating sociologists and so-called historians that now, 150 years later, they can figure out all these things that nobody at the time could figure out.
They say that all of these monuments that were put up on these town squares all across the South for the boys that never came home. And they said that when they were putting them up, that, you know, boys from Alabama died in Pennsylvania or Kentucky or Georgia, boys out in Louisiana, and then they don't even know where the graves were. And so they saved their pennies and dimes and nickels and put up these monuments in the small towns and all over the South for the boys that never came home. But now they tell us the only reason they put them up was because of slavery. And you can't find a single monument or a single speech at the dedication or anything that says anything at all about slavery. And they always say, oh, no. I know you can't find it written down, but we know 150 years later, we know what they were thinking. So we've got these mind readers, you know, they can go back 150 years ago and read the mind of people that have been dead for 70 or 80 or 90 years, and all of a sudden they can read the mind of dead people and they know what they were thinking. Isn't that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard of?
These people are just amazing. I got into an argument with a Jewish lady on the internet, on a chat site, and she came after me and said about herself, you know, I'm Jewish, and I know that people have desecrated our graveyards. We got to do something about right-wing extremists and the rise of anti-Semitism. They're desecrating our graveyards. I've heard nothing about that. I think if it is, there's a good chance that these are hoaxes. But I replied to her. I said, I live in Atlanta. We had the Lion of Lucerne, which was put as a marker over the graves of several thousand unknown Confederate dead in Oakland Cemetery, who died in defense of our city. I said, that was taken down with the support of virtually every Jewish organization in Atlanta, in Georgia.
Wow.
They backed the destruction of this grave marker to all these. I'm afraid that when it comes to the issue of tampering with grave markers, you've played your last card. You have no seat at the table in that argument.
Absolutely. And beyond that, who finances all these groups like that Southern Pervert Law Center in Montgomery and all these others? Those are the people that are putting up the money for all of this. Now,
George Soros gave $32 million to fund Black Lives Matter.
Yep, and his real name is Swartz.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, changed to Soros.
He fancies himself and another Jacob Schiff, Alexander Helfand, of the two Jewish bankers that funded Lenin and Trotsky. The Bolshevik Revolution didn't function without money, and the money came from banks.
Yep. And they think that'll never come back to haunt them.
I think speaking about Rich, I think Rich might be there wanting to ask Sam a question. I believe Cam, is Rich there?
I can't hear him very well.
Hey, Cameron.
Hello.
Hey, do you know if Rich is there? I think Rich wanted to ask. He was calling back in. I think he wanted to ask Sam a question if we have time.
Can you hear?
Rich, are you there, fella?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Well, one thing I want, the quote I sent you was that 94% of all indictments end in a plea bargain, and of the remaining 6%, 75% of them end in convictions. So if once they've set their sights on you, you've got a very slim chance of missing it. One thing I did want to say is if before we left Charlottesville, we drove by Lee Park just to look, to see what it looks like now. And both the statue and the pedestal are gone. There's just a flat spot in the ground where Robert E. Lee's statue was. I didn't know the line of Lucerne had been removed, but they've spray painted a monument in Centennial Park here in Nashville where my great grandfather's name is on it. So it's everywhere. That's all I had.
Well, thank you, Rich.
They are truly fanatics. And there's a great line from George Orwell that applies to them. They think in slogans and they speak in bullets. Yeah.
Wow.
And they, when you listen to their, what they just think in slogans. The facts don't matter. They've learned the slogans. They're the same kind of little people that when you were in fifth grade, they're the kind of people that raised their hands when Ms. Gooding came back in the class and said, "Ms. Gooding, yeah, Gene talked while you were out of the classroom."
Yeah, you're not supposed to tell that on the air.
They're exactly like that. They always did what teachers said, and they always did what teachers told them to do, and they always got the little gold star. And they think they're great intellectuals. And they're just ludicrous. They've never had an independent thought in their lives. They're blotter minds. They've been told what to think by the fifth grade civics teacher and the National Public Radio. They are unable to think for themselves. They've never read a book that disagreed with what they were told by the system. They think they're great intellectuals.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
You get in a debate with some of these people and you present them with historical facts, and then all it can do is start name calling. You're a racist. You're a homophobe. You're a sexist. Oh, you're this. You're that.
One,
there, whatever.
One more thing I wanted to add is it. The whole point of UTR was to protect the Lee statue, and very few of the plaintiffs hardly even said anything about that, and very few of the defendants really brought that up. That's one of the things I tried to emphasize, is that we were there to protect our history and our traditions. And the plaintiffs were all trying to turn this into a trial on the Holocaust. And one more thing, their supposed expert on extremism never interviewed anybody that went to UTR. Nobody on our side. He admitted this under cross-examination. I think it was by Christopher Cantwell, who's been the real star of the show.
He's just talking about a non-existent movement and making judge these people white supremacists. These are not a label they've chosen. And he can then explain how they're lying. It's just outrageous. It's just unbelievable. Yeah,
but he's
the
expert.
I was there. Yeah. I saw what happened. I saw our people attacked. I saw what went on at that rally. Yeah.
Well, folks, I was going to give out our white supremacist mailbox, P.O. box, but I've run out of time. Hey, golly, y'all. It's been so enjoyable. Thank you so much, Sam, my brother.
Well, thank you for having me on. It was great to be on with you.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you.
Fabulous.
It's an honor, as always.
And thank you, Gene. And thank you, Rich. And thank you, Cameron. People, dear Blood River Radio people, I hope you've enjoyed this show as much as I have. My God, what a pleasure it's been tonight. I've just been on cloud nine tonight with these guys in. People, same time, same place next week, the 27th. It may be a taped show, I don't know. But we will have something for you a week from today. God bless you, and have a happy Thanksgiving. And look up the JFK assassination if you want to. Good night, everybody.